Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Julia Carver. Welcome to the John Carver Show. My dad has helped thousands of people around the world lead happier and more successful lives. Whether you're just beginning to lay your foundation or you already built your life, but now you need to shore up some weak spots, this show will help you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So today's text I'm calling Mindful of the Current. Mindful of the Current. Now I can remember years ago when I was a wee lad that we used to have picnics at a place called Rock State Park in Bel Air, Maryland. And if you remember Rock State Park, there were many times when you would get in the water and sometimes, depending on the day and depending on where you are in that river slash stream, that sometimes the current could take you off your feet. And then other times there were situations where the current was relatively calm and you could walk around there and walk through it and there wasn't any issue at all. So that's kind of like where I got this idea from for this text, because life is really about current. Life is really about flow. And I've understood and noticed many times that that people don't really realize that in some cases, not certainly all cases, but they can direct the flow or the current in their own lives. I'll get to that shortly. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 reminds me of some things that I often have to remind myself of more than once or twice. Starting in the first verse, New American Standard Version of Hebrews 12 says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, if you turn to the Living Bible, of the same exact text, it says this: "Since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith watching us from the grandstands, let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back. And especially," the Living Bible says, "those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up, and let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us." Many times I have to remind myself that I can't speak for you, but for me, and based on what I'm reading in the Bible oftentimes, that I'm responsible at least partly to how I handle myself and what I do in my own life to free myself of the baggage that keeps me back from doing the things that I should be doing consistently. Now, this part of being, I think, proactive is removing what's getting in the way. And I think oftentimes you and I have the ability to ignore the things that hang on to us for so many years, things that tend to, over a period of time, drag us down. I've seen television shows where people who are fishermen and they have these crustaceans that over time grow on the bottom of their boat. And sometimes that can slow them up. That can do damage to their boat. So every now and again, I don't even know how often they do it, but they have to take off that stuff off the boat in order for them to run properly. So the tendency, I think, for a lot of people, I can't say even for most, but at least for some people, is to react instead of being proactive in life. The tendency is to react instead of being proactive in life. A guy named Steve Schellenberger writes, "Remember, action today can prevent a crisis tomorrow. Action today can prevent a crisis tomorrow." How many times haven't you known people who haven't taken care of their health for 50 years and then they look up one day and they realize that they have this illness or that illness because they haven't taken the steps on the front end of their lives to make sure that at the end of their lives, things are going a lot better for them. A guy named Ken Porat writes, "Be proactive, not reactive." Again, be proactive, not reactive. He says, "For an apparently insignificant issue ignored today can spawn tomorrow's catastrophe." How many times have it you run into people who haven't taken care of their cars, and they've delayed and delayed and delayed, and then one day their car blows up, or their car stops working, or they choose not to do certain things consistently, like change the oil or rotate the tires, or any number of minor issues that over a period of time become major issues because you haven't done the small things to take care of the larger things. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 shares a small story that, again, reminds me that some things that need to be done in life have to be done by me. Let me say it a different way for all of us. Some things that need to be done in life have to be done by you, that we can't wait around for stuff to happen. Over in Acts chapter 19, verse 11. Now, the story is talking about Paul. And Paul, in his former life, was a prosecutor of Christians, this new religion that popped up. And Paul came through a situation where his life was turned around as a result of a very unusual situation. I'm not going to get into that story, but Acts chapter 19 says this in verse 11. It says, "God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out. But also some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place, attempting to name over those who had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, 'Quote, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches.'" Verse 14 says, "Seven sons of one Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, 'I recognize Jesus, and I know not, and I know about Paul, but who are you?'" Verse 16, "And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them and subdued them out of the house, and they ran out naked and wounded. This became known to all the Jews and the Greeks who lived in Ephesus," this town where they were. "And fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was being magnified." Verse 18, "Many also of those who had believed kept coming, confessing and disclosing their practices. And many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of everyone. And they counted up all the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver." Verse 20. So again, so the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing. Now let me go back up just to repeat one verse. "And God was performing miracles, extraordinary miracles," my text says, "by the hands of Paul." And again, I'll reaffirm many times here today, that some things, I would say most things, many things in life don't happen unless we do them. Because, you know, we can pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and believe all day long. But unless we start putting feet to the prayer, start putting actions to our prayers and goals and or other projects that we're trying to do, then many times stuff doesn't happen. Again, I go back to what it says here. God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. Paul didn't just stand back and pray for something to happen. He in essence, made stuff happen. So when you and I sit on our hands, good things don't happen. Let me say it again. When you and I sit on our hands, good things don't happen. There are steps that can really disrupt your flow. There can be steps and situations that can disrupt your current. And one of those big things is fear. And I'll be the first to tell you that fear has stopped me in my tracks more times than I care to share because of this situation or that struggle or that problem or that challenge or that phobia or whatever it is. Fear can really stop your current in a very unique way. In fact, Louis Pasteur, the great scientist, would not shake hands with people for a very long time because he was afraid that he was going to get some sort of germs and die. President Benjamin Harrison and his wife wouldn't touch the light switch when electricity was first brought into the White House because they thought that they would die when they would touch the light switch. So they would have their employees turning on and off the light switches because this newfangled electricity thing, they thought they were going to die by touching the light switch. In fact, there's a scientific fact that some people have passed away as a result of the fear of passing away. There's an actual term for it. It's called myofibular degeneration. That is that people who believe that they're helpless and they can't avoid danger, so they just, in essence, they just roll over and die because they believe that there's no way out. They believe that they can't overcome the stuff that goes on. So literally, fear can stop your flow. Fear, again, can stop your current. It can stop you from moving in a direction that you've been really wanting to go to in your life. That can literally be life-changing. But fear gets in the way so many times. Fear makes the small look large. Fear makes the small look large and makes what is possible seem impossible. Fear makes what is possible seem impossible. Over in 1 John chapter 4, it says, "We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in Him." He says that God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And then it goes on to say down the verse a bit, "And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Such love has no fear." Listen, again, "such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear." Again, perfect love expels all fear. In fact, the original text suggests that fear can actually run away. The actual word is flight. Fear can go away when we live in perfect love. Because when we live in perfect love, according to the text, there is no fear. Over in John chapter 14, verse 25, starting at verse 25, in John 14, it says, "These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," listen to this, "He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said." Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled." Listen, this is Jesus talking. "Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Again, I'll say it multiple times, but fear will disrupt your flow, and it will stop the current in your own life. Seth Godin writes, he's like a very deep guy. He's written many books, great books. If you ever want to widen your mind, read any book by Seth Godin. He writes, the linchpin feels the fear. Again, the linchpin feels the fear. They acknowledge it, then they proceed. "I can't tell you how to do this," he says. "I think the answer is different for everyone. What I can tell you is that in today's economy, doing it is a prerequisite for success." I've read stories and articles about people who've made it big time. I mean, whether they're actors or business people or anywhere in between. And a percentage of them were scared out of their mind in the beginning and in the process of realizing what they were trying to accomplish. But they went through the fear. How many people do you know who, once they become fearful, they stop in their tracks, sometimes for decades, because of the fear? And then they never really realize the things that they're really wired to do or want to do or have a desire to do or feel called to do because of that fear. There are ways that you and I can manage our flow. Think about that a minute. There's ways that you and I can manage our flow. I kind of liken this to, again, back at Rock State Park, because there were times that I can remember that I can't remember who the adults were because I was relatively young at the time, but some of the adults would stack the rocks in such a way that would literally divert the current or change the flow of the current in a different way. Again, some of the adults would take some large rocks and stack the rocks in a certain way that would make the flow different for those of us who were getting in the water, whether it was to slow it down or divert it so they could have this area clear to do a baptism or whatever it was. So there are lessons, I think, in that story that we have the ability to adjust the flow based on what we do. I go back to what we said about Paul. The miracles happened because Paul was doing stuff. Paul wasn't just standing around hoping and praying that stuff was going to happen. So we have the ability, all of us have the ability, if we have enough forethought in mind, to divert, to adjust, to tailor the flow in our lives in a way that things will be better for us in life. Can you create a life that can enhance the chances that you'll be in the zone versus out of the zone? I was sick for a few days a couple weeks ago, and I could feel just about 3 days being sick that I started to atrophy. Just those 3 days, not 3 weeks, not 3 months, not 3 years, but just 3 days, I could tell what I worked for so many years was starting to atrophy, and it was really driving me bonkers because I knew that if that atrophy lasted long enough, then I would have to, in time, start all over again and redo all the stuff that I had been doing for so many years. I wonder how many people don't realize that, that when we don't keep going, we atrophy. We get weaker. We get less able to do things that we should be able to do. So there's many things in life that stop our flow, that can stop the power in our lives. Another thing besides fear that can stop us is yesterday. Yeah, yesterday can literally stop you in your path. It's almost like if the past is left unchecked and if it's not monitored, it's like allowing a beaver's dam to build a dam upstream and stop the flow in your life. Because yesterday really blocks, at least in some cases, blocks what you're trying to accomplish today, because you keep looking at yesterday and you keep allowing the negative people in your life to build these dams in your life that are stopping your flow. And I think all of us have fallen into that situation at least once or twice, where we've been looking back yesterday, and every time we look back at yesterday and complaining and struggling and fearing what has happened and reliving, frankly, what's happened, we're in essence building a dam up in our lives that's stopping the flow that should be going through our lives every single day. And then we wake up one day and the flow isn't even a flow anymore. It's not even a trickle, because you've allowed fear, you've allowed yesterday to stop you in your tracks. So there are certain things in my life and certain people in my life that I won't allow in my life anymore, because it stops my flow. Now think about that in your own life. How many people do you allow in your life by default, or maybe because you're too nice to say, or maybe change your lifestyle a little bit, that these people cannot be in your life anymore because they stop your flow? A simple example is negative people. How can you possibly be positive or focused or determined or driven if you choose to hang around negative people that in essence are what? Trying indirectly or directly to stop your flow. I go back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith watching us from the grandstands, let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back. Again, there are some people in your life, I'll be trying to be very kind here, there are some people in your life that you don't need in your life anymore, because they're not going in the same direction you're going. They're going in a direction that is probably opposite that you're going. So if you're trying to go this way and they're going this way, guess who's going to win eventually? They're going to pull you back in a way, or at least slow you down, and now you're now X amount of years old, you're now 30 years older, and you haven't taken too many steps forward because you've allowed the people in your life to hold you back and stop your flow. Now, proper daily maintenance is really, really important. In fact, it's critical. It's critical because if not, you're going to fall into a mental swamp or a mental funk, F-U-N-K, if you will, that will just absolutely cloud your mind and your spirit and your life and your passion so much that if you don't maintain, stuff's going to happen that you're not going to be happy about in 10 or 20 years. John Maxwell says, dreams often come one size too big so that we can grow into them. Again, dreams often come one size too big so that we can grow into them. He also said, nobody finishes well by accident. Nobody finishes. I don't know any college student that got good grades in school by accident. I mean, most kids, unless they're geniuses and they have IQs of 3,000, which I don't know if it's even possible, but anyway, high IQs, stuff doesn't happen easily. It takes a lot of hard work, and I think a lot of people in life, a lot of people, think that they can float downstream and just allow any flow to guide them wherever they want to go, and they've got oars in their boat. They can decide where they want to go, but oftentimes they choose not to. John Maxwell also said, the secret to your success is determined by your daily agenda. I cannot say that enough times. The more times that you have a daily agenda, and I've said this before from here, that if you have stuff in writing, if you write down your daily list that you need to do the night before and have an intention about it, have an agenda, have something you're trying to accomplish long term, stuff tends to happen faster. Again, John Maxwell says, the secret to your success is determined by your daily agenda. How many people have you met that have had no agenda for the last 10 years, and they wake up 10 years later and nothing's been done because there's been no agenda, there's been no target? Imagine if you were trying to, you know, shoot an arrow and with your eyes closed. I mean, you're not statistically, you're not going to hit the bullseye. In fact, you could probably kill somebody. Probably you will kill somebody. Because you're blindfolded, because there's no target, there's no goal. Now, business people say that there's ways that you can bring flow into your life. One of or at least a few of them, is to have daily habits that keep your body in a frame of mind that is more healthy than not healthy. You know, I found myself, while Tammy's at the, for those who are watching, My wife and daughter are at the hospital at Hopkins for about a month now for recovering from a bone marrow transplant, and I've been doing the shopping. And when my wife would go shopping, I mean, I'd look for the cupboard for something sweet, and there's not too much in the cupboard that's sweet. Well, when I go shopping, about a quarter of what I put in the cart is stuff that I shouldn't be putting in the cart. So again, is that being proactive? Is that being commonsensical? No, it's allowing the easy stuff. Now, I can blame it on the cart because stuff jumps into my cart. I dare not put stuff into the cart. You know, no way. I don't do that stuff. But it just happens to show up at our house. The point being that if you're reactive, stuff happens, yes? Versus if you're proactive. And there's another way that business people say is that early risers tend to get stuff done. Versus later risers. I know teenagers like to sleep in on off days. I mean, I know teenagers are like half their day is gone because they want to sleep in. Nothing gets done with teenagers, you know, if you get done. And then it enables you to focus more. And let me give you another example. Over in Genesis 22, there's a story that says that that Abraham was told to sacrifice his son Isaac. That's a whole new sermon, a whole new text. I'm not going to get in there, but there's a piece in there in Genesis 22, verse number 3. It says, "So he got up early and loaded his donkey." King James calls it something else. I'm not going to say that. But anyway, he got up early and loaded his donkey. The point being that he didn't sleep on it. He didn't, you know, stay in bed all day thinking about it. He got up early to get it done. And that speaks volumes to me, because sometimes when we delay doing stuff doesn't get done. I'm only speaking for my own life, nobody else's. But when I delay it instead of just doing it, write it down and just do it and get it done, it makes it so much easier. And then your mind's free. You don't have the guilt of, I should have done this. No, because you did it. You wrote it down and then you did it. See, Abraham Abraham purposed in his heart the night before to get up early to do what he was told to do. Again, oftentimes, I'll say it 5 or 6 times, but unless we write the stuff down, unless we are intentional about life, life happens by default. When we do things proactively, life happens by design more times than not. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 says, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Just the first 2 or 3 words, I press on. Again, it reiterates the whole point here, is that life has to be intentional. It cannot be accidental. It cannot be by default. You cannot wake up one day and realize stuff that you really wanted to happen without a lot of hard work for a lot of years. So it suggests to me in this verse, Philippians 3:14, where it says, I press on, that we have to be proactive in everything that we do. Your own mouth, listen to this, your own mouth can stop the current from flowing in your life. I'll say it again. Your own mouth can stop the current from flowing in your life. Over in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 6, Living Bible says this, a fool gets into constant fights. You know any fools? I went to school with some fools. A fool gets into constant fights. His mouth is his undoing. His words endanger him. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands here today, but how many times haven't you and I inserted thigh in mouth? We went way beyond foot in mouth. We went into thigh because we said some stupid stuff. There are still major regrets from stuff I've said before, like years ago or maybe months ago. But I can't take it back because once it's out, it's out. So oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes it's best just to shut your mouth and let it go. Because once you start, have you ever noticed? Once you start, stuff starts coming out that has no business coming out. So sometimes it's best just to keep your mouth shut. Over in James 3, starting in verse 5. Says this, James 3, starting in verse 5. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, I'm in James 3, verse 5 or 6, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature, it says, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father God, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Your mouth can get you into so much trouble. And by the way, the opposite side of that same coin is your mouth can be a blessing to so many other people as well. Over in Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 33, it says, listen to this, a tree is identified by its fruit. A tree from a select variety produces good fruit. Poor varieties don't. You brood of snakes, this is Jesus talking, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? Verse 34, listen, from a man's heart determines his speech. I think King James says, from what comes out of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Verse 35, a good man's speech reveals the rich treasures within him. An evil-hearted man is filled with venom, and his speech reveals it. You can tell so much by a person by just how they speak. Not just how they speak, but what they speak. And oftentimes, the baggage that they have been carrying comes out of their mouth so many times because, as we've shared here before, hurting people tend to what? Hurt people. So you can really hear the pain sometimes and hear the intention or hear what people are trying to accomplish by what they say, not always by what they do. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, this is a tough one for some of us. It says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only what is good for building up, as fits the occasion, who it may give grace to those who hear. Again, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. That is hard some days not to let corrupt talk. I mean, it doesn't have to be filthy language, but just negativity and just whining and complaining. I mean, when you whine and complain, your ears hear it, and then your brain hears it, and then your whole day is shot because now you're believing all this stuff that you're saying. Don't get me started. Just based on these few verses I've just shared, you and I can literally sabotage our own flow, right? Words are so powerful, like can't. You know, for years, the kids and I have had this unspoken rule, in quotes, that you can't say can't around our house because can't puts you in a mindset that you cannot accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. So, of course, that's weaned over the years and been diluted over the years as they've become teenagers. But there was a time where they would catch themselves, oh, that's right, I can't say can't. Because, again, can't puts you in a mindset. And how about someday I'll? You know, someday I'll do this, and one day I'll do this, and when I get around to it, and when I feel like it, when I have enough energy, someday I'll rarely happens unless it's intentional. How many people have you heard say or do, okay, I'm going to get ready, I'm going to aim, I'm going to aim, I'm going to aim, I'm going to aim, and I'm going to fire. I had a conversation yesterday with a gentleman who was in the Marines in Afghanistan. And so I'm not getting into the long story, but a piece of the story is this, that they were in need of new firearms. So they sent the people above them sent them a lot of new shiny powerful means to kill bad people, but they didn't include firing pins in hundreds of firearms because they sent firearms that were going to be used in parades, which had no firing pins. They sent them stuff that was impractical, that was pretty and beautiful, but they could aim all day, but they couldn't shoot. So they had to wait several more days in order to get the firing pins to be able to do the damage and to take what they needed to do because they chose not to. How about stop saying, I don't have time? Most of us can make the time to do stuff if we want to do stuff. I mean, really, really, really. I mean, I've had to look at myself in the mirror so many days that is what I'm believing or what I'm saying right now an excuse because I'm afraid to do it or don't want to do it? Or am I putting it off because, you know, I really have no desire to do it? Because as I've said here again many times, what gets written gets done. If it's part of your daily agenda, it tends to get done a lot easier. And then I shared earlier that keeping negative people out of your life, that sometimes you have to change your circle of friends because we're only here for a flicker. We're only here for a short amount of time. And the older you get, that clock goes faster and faster and faster. As a kid, oh my gosh, time went so slow. But the older you get, man, time. So you don't have much, you and I don't have much time left. So we need to maximize those 80 or 90 or 100 years that we have here on this planet. There was an out-of-towner. He drove his car into a ditch in this desolate area. Luckily, a local farmer came to help with his big, strong horse. His strong horse's name was Buddy. He hitched Buddy up to the car and yelled, pull, Nelly, pull. Well, I'm sorry, the horse's name wasn't Buddy. The farmer's name was Buddy. My apologies. So he hooked up his horse to the car and yelled, pull, Nelly, pull. But he didn't move. So then the farmer hollered, pull, Buster, pull. But he didn't respond. And once more, the farmer commanded, pull, Coco, pull, and nothing. Well, story gets a little weird. Then the farmer nonchalantly said, pull, Buddy, pull. The horse easily dragged the car out of the ditch. So the motorist was most appreciative and very curious, and he asked the farmer why he called his horse by the wrong name three times. The farmer said, oh, Buddy is blind, and he thought he was the only one pulling. He wouldn't even try. So I think oftentimes we have to, in essence, in a silly kind of way, play mind games with ourselves. Because if we think we're the only ones that are trying to do certain things, we think that certain things are not possible, whereas we're really not the only ones that are trying to do certain things, that we're part of a group, we're part of a mission, we're part of some sort of unit that's trying to get there at the same place at the same time. In fact, there's been so many people that come with excuses that literally build resistance in their own lives, because the excuses that you and I come up with are literally stopping the flow and the current that shouldn't even be stopped up in our own lives. How many times have you met people who smoked heavily for decades and they can't understand why their lungs are so clogged up, or they eat junk for 50 years of their lives and realize why their heart arteries are clogged up? Maybe because they weren't doing the things that they should have been doing in order to keep that stuff open. So pain's initial reaction, I think sometimes, is for us to retreat. How many times haven't you had pain in your life? Well, there's all kinds of pain, emotional pain, financial pain, you know, religious pain, and, you know, physical pain. And oftentimes that when you have those pains, the tendency is to stop. The tendency is to retreat, versus sometimes in some situations, pain oftentimes means growth. Pain oftentimes means that you're developing strengths in areas that maybe you haven't realized that you've had, but through the pain, through the difficulty, through the stress, that strength has really climbed a lot better. A guy named Simon Whitfield writes, I'm not honestly sure how I push through pain. I usually rely on my competitive instinct, either with training partners or race competitors or my goals for a specific workout. I see it as just another component of racing and training, and it's inevitable, so you get about driving yourself to get the most out of yourself. He's a four-time Olympian gold triathlete. I think oftentimes you and I fail to realize that in order for us to get to where we need to go to, we have to go through pain. In the Old Testament, a guy named Jeremiah, he was a younger gentleman, and he was challenged to say some things that were not appealing to the people around him. Let me be polite about that. So they tried to kill him. They tried to do some very nasty things, and Jeremiah got upset about it. He was like, man, how could this be? The point being that he could have retreated, or he could have kept going to complete the mission that he was given, even in the face of resistance. I think oftentimes, I'll say it four or five times, that you and I, or at least some of us, tend to stop in our tracks because of the resistance of the current that's coming against us. David Foster shares, I heard Professor Bruce describe a Christian's response to pain this way. We once rescued a wren from the claws of our cat. Thought its wing was broken, the frightened bird struggled to escape my loving hands. Contrast this with my daughter's recent trip to the doctor. Her strep throat meant a shot was necessary. Frightened, she cried, no, Daddy, no, Daddy, no, Daddy. But all the while, she gripped me tightly around the neck. Pain ought to make us more like a sick child than a hurt bird. How many times haven't we wanted to run from the pain instead of wondering if there's a lesson in the pain, or if there could be just a smidgen of good that can come out of the pain? It is really hard to see the good in pain, because sometimes it's camouflaged in such a unique way that it might take a little time to see, you know, if there's any good in there at all. Dorothy Clark Wilson writes, Dr. Paul Brand, the noted leprosy expert who was chief of the rehabilitation branch of this place in Louisiana, had a frightening experience one night when he thought he had contracted leprosy. Dr. Brand arrived in London one night after an exhausting transatlantic ocean trip and long train ride from the English coast. He was getting ready for bed, had taken off his shoes, and as he pulled off a sock, discovered that he had no feeling in his heel. To most anyone else, the discovery would have meant very little, a momentary numbness. But Dr. Brand was world famous for his restorative surgery on lepers in India. He had convinced himself and his staff at this place that there was no danger of infection from leprosy after it reached a certain stage. The numbness in his heel terrified him. In her biography of Dr. Brand, 10 Fingers for God, Dorothy Clark Wilson writes, "He rose mechanically, found a pin, sat down again, and pricked the small area below his ankle. He felt no pain. He thrust the pin deeper until a speck of blood showed. Still, he felt nothing. He supposed, like other workers with leprosy, he had always half expected it. In the beginning, probably not a day had gone by without an automatic searching of his body for the telltale patch, the area of numbed skin. All that night, with a great orthopedic surgeon tried to imagine his new life as a leper, as an outcast. His medical staff's confidence in their immunity shattered by his disaster and the forced separation from his family. As night receded, he yielded to hope, and in the morning, which with clinical objectivity, the author writes, with steady fingers, he bared the skin below his ankle, stabbed in the point, and yelled. Blessed was the sensation of pain. He realized that during the long train ride, sitting immobile, he had numbed a nerve. From then on, whenever Dr. Brand cut his finger, turned his ankle, and even suffered an agonizing nausea as his whole body reacted in violent non-self-protection from mushroom poisoning, he was to respond with fervent gratitude, thank God for pain. And I could chase a thought here, but there are some people who have the inability to feel pain emotionally, physically, mentally. So for us to be able to feel pain and experience pain, there's hope for us, I think, to make a difference in people's lives and or to readjust our flow in a way and our current in a way that can literally change the lives of people around us. Again, your daily agenda will determine if or when you're going to be able to increase the flow in your own life. Nehemiah was a great example in the Old Testament. Nehemiah, without getting into the whole story, he was able to synchronize a group of people to get a project done that had not been done for decades. For decades, hadn't been touched. But within a relatively reasonable amount of time, he was able to put all the minds together toward one goal, gave certain groups of people tasks, and certain things were done. Then the flow was able to happen. The point being is when we're synchronized, when the flow happens, stuff happens so much faster. So the key for you and I think, is to create in our lives a synchronicity, if that's a right word in this thought, to create synchronicity in our own lives so that the flow in our lives will be more intentional and not accidental. Because when we don't have synchronicity in our lives, then our flow it meanders any way that the flow chooses to go. You and I can design where the flow needs to go in our own lives. Over in Exodus 17, I'm not going to read the whole story, but there came a time when Moses was told to do a certain thing and he was getting tired. So two gentlemen came to his side. One's name was Aaron and the other name of the guy was Hur, H-U-R. And they were able to enable Moses, again, they were able to enable Moses to do his job in order to create a victory or a flow in that situation. But if they wouldn't have done what they did, that is to encourage, to lift his arms, to be there for him, then the flow wouldn't have happened. So again, we have to live an intentional life. So if we want flow in our lives, we have to be intentional about designing the flow that we want in our lives, because flow doesn't happen by itself. So as I close, life is a very fast and raging current. Life is a fast and raging current. And you can get through it if you're intentional about every single day. You can't be accidental. You can't be wishful and hopeful and, you know, one day things will. It doesn't normally happen that way. So you and I need to be very intentional about our flow, design our flow, design the current that you want in your life. Because when you do that, then really good things happen faster and sooner than later. I'm so fired up about my fourth book that came out. It's called Build Your Foundation, 68 Building Blocks for a Successful and Rewarding Life. I've compressed about 25 years of knowledge, experience, and learning from a lot of people to help you in your life. You can get a copy of it over at TremendousLifeBooks.com. Again, TremendousLifeBooks.com. Here's some more information about it. For the last 25 years, I've visited with thousands of people in their homes. Many of these people I've met with have no goals, no dreams, no ambitions, and no roadmap for their life. I've seen so many people sitting on their front porches watching life go by. In 2006, my wife and I started building our home with bedrooms for each of our six kids. I always made sure that the foundation of our home was solid. I didn't want to take any chances with the lives of my family. So it is with life. My book, Build Your Foundation, 68 Building Blocks of a Successful, Rewarding Life, is jammed full of ideas that can help you today. My book is a collection of ideas and short stories really designed to help you turn your life around and to help impact the people that you care about and that you love so much. Whether you're just beginning to lay your foundation or you've already built your life but need to shore up some weak spots, Build Your Foundation will help you fortify yourself for a lifetime of success and to give you the courage to go for your dreams in life. Don't miss out on what you can accomplish. You can scale any height and achieve any goal. This book will help you get there. I have a passion to help millions of people change their lives. This book is easy to read, has short chapters, and can help you right now and change your life today. I believe in you. Thank you so much for listening to the John Carver Show. If you want more information about me, just simply go to my website, www.johnwcarver.com. Again, thanks so much for listening to the show today, and remember, I believe in you.
Thank you for listening to the John Carver Show. Please tune in again right here Monday through Friday for more insights and opinions on how you can reach your goals and dreams in life.